Hey, in this podcast, I'd like to talk to you about tempo, using Tempo Trainer and training with tempo. And I want to encourage you to avoid two extremes regarding tempo training. The first extreme is to never use the Tempo Trainer. And the other extreme that we want to avoid is to always use the Tempo Trainer. So very simple to tell you about those two extremes to avoid. I do run across sometimes people, well, obviously I run across new swimmers. They've never seen or knew that a Tempo Trainer existed. And so like, hey, what is this device? And sometimes we'll put it in during the lesson series and I'll have them try it out. And some people like start off like, hey, this is really cool. I want to get one of these. And immediately they can see how it could be helpful for them. Other people pop it in and they're already kind of overloaded with everything else they're focusing on. And when they now have to pay attention to the beep, that becomes a distraction for them. And they find it's something that they don't want to do. And so, of course, we turn it off. I just wanted them to know that it was there. But, you know, sometimes down the road after people have been practicing a while and I've shown them how to gradually increase the complexity of their training, at some point, tempo training is one of those essential forms of training, a way of holding your stroke accountable on a higher level. But I'll run across some folks that just still have not wanted to pick up a tempo trainer and start using it. I'm not exactly sure why. I have ideas of why. I just don't know for each person why they're. I can't guess why they may not want it unless I ask them. But once I do, I'm going to try to encourage this person. Because obviously using a tempo trainer, just like a musician would use a metronome, a musician will use it in certain forms of music, holding proper timing and holding it consistently is critical for developing your ability to play that kind of music. So an individual musician just needs to know very consistent tempo because all of their movements to create the music need to take place in a certain time frame, you know, a matter of fractions of seconds, so that the whole piece comes together and to the human ear, it sounds pleasing and appropriate. If we have musicians that are going to play together, either in an orchestra or a band, then obviously they all need to be on the same tempo because each of them are weaving their parts in and out with each other, and those all need to coordinate at the right timing. Just like if we saw an air show with these acrobatic jets, all of them have to time their rolls and their twists and their crossings just perfect or they're going to smash into each other. So they obviously having a sense of tempo and timing has to be perfect for these jet acrobatics. And it has to be perfect for those musicians who play together. Even in certain bands, as I was familiar, because I used to play some music some years ago. You know, if you're a bass guitar or you're a drummer, then you may be the instrument, the musician that the others are relying on to hold the tempo. And so all of them have practiced tempo, but you're the one everybody's relying on to maintain consistent tempo through the entire piece. So it's one thing to think, oh, I'm keeping the beat, but if your brain is not trained, your perception of tempo can change from the beginning of the piece to the end as you feel energetic to when you feel tired or when the music is quiet versus when the music is more intense. So these different moments in the piece can alter your sense of timing so that you think you are on timing and your movements are so coordinated and precise. But in fact, the other people in the band and those listening to you can tell that this is not the case. And it's a detraction from the performance. So coming back to swimming, holding the metronome, the swimming metronome, our tempo trainer, and setting that and learning to keep your body moving rhythmically with that is a very powerful form of neural programming. It's a very powerful form of accountability to make sure that your stroke, you're executing the movements precisely and doing them in a timely manner, so that some parts of the stroke that you're unsure about, you're just, maybe consciously you're not aware of it, but your nervous system is not as assured that it's doing the right thing. If you're using a tempo trainer and you're swimming along and you're at the appropriate tempo, you're gonna feel this hesitation, you're gonna feel this uncertainty at that moment, and then it slows you down slightly at that moment, and then you realize you're rushed in the next moment to try to get back on tempo. So that becomes a way of really noticing, whoa, there's a weak spot in my stroke. And then of course, learning to use the tempo trainer, using it at uncomfortably slow tempos and uncomfortably fast. I mean, just on the edge of uncomfortably slow and on the edge of uncomfortably fast, there's a lot more to observe and to learn and to have a lot more different forms of growth provoked by working on those edges. So I have a lot more to teach you on using tempo in these ways. If you were to look up articles in the dojo on tempo, as a matter of fact, you can go into the blog section, and I recently wrote a blog that just basically shows you all the links to the tempo, the articles about tempo in there, so you can click on those that interest you. And perhaps if you have previously not been interested in using a tempo trainer, you can read some of those and get an idea of how to use it in a way that would be much more attractive to you, much more interesting to you. Okay? So if you haven't been using a tempo trainer, you find yourself very reluctant to use one, then I encourage you to consider its benefits and to seek out some understanding to draw yourself into a form of practice that will really benefit you. So let's think about the other extreme then, always using the tempo trainer. So now I run into people occasionally who are so excited about using the tempo trainer, they find it so useful that they turn it on and they pretty much always swim with it. There's two ways that, two exaggerations, two extremes that we want to avoid. Number one, simply just using the tempo trainer all the time. And number two, using the same tempo all the time. Never deviating or varying, no variation from that one tempo. So let's take the first one. The whole point of using a device like this is to train your brain not to need the device, right? That's the point. So again, we go back to musicians. Yeah, for a period of time, they're going to train with a metronome to help them learn the piece, but eventually they have to internalize that tempo. And the brain can do it. The brain is made for this all the time. The brain does this all the time, the sense of tempo, the brain keeping track, where we don't need an external device to do it for us. All sorts of athletes do this. And so for you in the water, having your body learn to move rhythmically, obviously the tempo trainer is helping with that, but then you need to practice weaning off of the tempo trainer to turn that responsibility over to the brain fully. Now, you can use the tempo trainer occasionally to tune up and to make sure that your brain's sense of timing is in fact calibrated to the real timing that would be shown on the tempo trainer. But that would be something that any and every artist and musician would do anyways, and athlete would do anyways, is to occasionally check in with tempo just to make sure. Because yeah, again, you may have a really good sense of timing built into you, but over time, without exposure to that more objective measurement of timing, your brain can kind of drift from its sense of timing. So maybe as you time goes by, you're going to slow down more than you realize. So using a tempo trainer occasionally will help you stay tuned up to the tempo that you intend. So I have an article there on that tempo blog, a link to the article, Weaning Off the Tempo Trainer. So that would be one you would want to look at to get an idea of how to gradually remove your dependency on the tempo trainer. So then the other extreme that I mentioned here is don't stay with the same tempo all the time. As a matter, we want to use a range of tempos. So just like a bicycle has gears, and you can click gears to deal with different kinds of situations on the bike, uphill, downhill, headwinds, you know, cruising lightly, going fast, whatever. You can switch gears to keep your body's rhythm and the cadence of movement appropriate for that situation. So as swimmers, even if you are a long distance swimmer, you would still want to practice a range of tempos. So you'd have this width between uncomfortably fast to uncomfortably slow and a comfortable middle somewhere in there. And then within that zone, you would be practicing gears, so to speak. You'd have a sprint gear, and you'd have a brisk gear, and you'd have a cruising gear, and you'd have a jogging gear, and you'd have kind of a walking gear, so to speak. And you'd train for those. And so if you're going along and you know, hey, I need to slow down to stay with my friend here, then you would click back to one of those gears that would be more appropriate to that speed of swimming or that intensity level. And when it's time to do sprints, if you are practicing variable speed swimming, then you may be swimming along at your cruising speed, and then you'd click up to your brisk speed of movement for a while. And it would be nice if you train in such a way that you can click into those tempos very crisply, very distinctly, as if you were switching gears on a bicycle. Click, and you immediately feel the change in pressure and the rate of speed of your movements as you slip into that particular tempo. So again, with a lot of training in these particular ways, your nervous system will memorize, instead of just having one tempo rut that you fall into and you can't swim any other way, you'd have several that you have intentionally etched, and you can slip, click over to any one of those gears. All right? So just to review, two extremes we want to avoid is never using a tempo trainer and using it all the time and never turning it off, or using it always in the same tempo and not having any variability. So hope that gives you some insight. And so if you find yourself tending towards one extreme or the other, you can have some encouragement now to back away from that extreme and to add a little bit more maturity to your practice and a little bit more understanding, so that you feel not merely that you have to avoid the extreme, but that you see the point in it and you agree with it, and now you're motivated to practice in a better way. All right, that's my encouragement for you, and I'll talk to you later.